coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Ayo Studio.
Hey,
yo. Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. Got a great show for you tonight. Should the Cards trade the number 3 pick? Tampa Bay Rays are 11-0, and the Dallas Mavericks miss the playoffs. But we begin today's show with we are here. Here we are. The NBA playoffs. That's a season in itself. The never-ending saga. It won't be over until June, I think. The top seeds are set, and the play-in tournament's almost complete. We got some action tonight. There was some action last night. So, Z, who you got in the finals? How do you see this thing playing out?
Well, the cream's going to rise to the top, as it always does. Now, the question is, who gets bumped off early? Who gets a scare put into them in the first round? Now, the Hawks, they're the 7. They draw the Celtics. They could put a scare into the Celtics. Can they beat them? I'm not 100% sure about that. But the Hawks can definitely put a scare in the Celtics. LeBron and the Lakers, they're the 7 in the West. Can they do more than put a scare into the Grizzlies? I think so. I think they could actually win that series. Now, as far as moving forward and what we project into the finals, it's hard not to see Golden State not coming out of this again. It's very hard for me not to see that, because out of the West, I don't trust the Nuggets. They may get to the conference finals, but I don't trust the Nuggets. They haven't earned that yet. I already said I think the Lakers could possibly knock off the Grizzlies. The Sacramento Kings haven't been in the playoffs in 20 years. This is a win for them. And Suns Clippers. Need I say more? Like, you got Russ versus KD. How the hell did we get here? What a time to be alive. So I could definitely see a scenario where the Warriors are back in the finals. And as far as who would join them out of the East, I gotta say it, it's the Bucks. The Bucks are that much better than the majority of those teams. It's very hard for me to not go chalk in the Eastern Conference, where I see Bucks Celtics in the conference finals. And the Bucks will have just enough. So I see Bucks Warriors, in my opinion. But, you know, it's gonna be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting, because who's coming out of this 8 seed? Like, who is it going to be? Is it going to be Miami? Is it going to be Toronto? Because it doesn't look like it's going to be Chicago. It's going to be Miami. It's going to be Toronto. Who's it going to be? If it's Miami, that is very interesting. Miami, Jimmy Butler, you know, you have that kind of series in the opening round against the Bucks. That is very interesting. Nothing will come of it, but it will be very interesting. Now, you're looking at the Wolves need to go. Like, the Wolves need to go bye-bye. I'm sorry. After what happened the last game of the season and what happened against the Lakers, the Minnesota Timberwolves need to be off the stage. Like, the lights were too bright. Like, they fell apart and melted down in the worst possible way. New Orleans Pelicans, your best player's not going to play unless he feels like himself. If that's what we're to glean from his comments, and that's an alleged superstar comment right there. I'm not going to play unless I 100% feel like me. So that means you're never going to play. That leaves the Thunder. Thunder Nuggets? That sounds like a sweep. There's a huge difference. There's a chasm there. And it speaks more. It speaks even higher to the fact that the Dallas Mavericks tanked the end of the season. The NBA should come down very... We're going to touch on it in a second. I'm not going to totally shoot my wad on this right now, but shame on the Dallas Mavericks. Because they would draw the Nuggets in the first round, and they would put up a fight. They would actually put up a fight against the Nuggets. These other guys, I don't think so. But as of right now, I like the Warriors against the Bucks, and that's going seven. It's a coin flip going seven.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're giving a lot of credit to some of these lower level seeds. Like, there's no fight in Dallas at all, other than fighting with the refs. I mean, I don't know what you thought they were going to do to a Nuggets team. Same thing with the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers had a tough time beating Minnesota last night, and they were without one of their guards, and they were out without Rudy Gobert. I mean, I can't imagine that Laker team taking on like a Suns team or a Warriors team. You say they're going to play well against the Grizzlies. I just don't see it. You know, the thing about the NBA, and I don't think it's like this in any other sport, is the best team wins the seven-game series. It's a seven-game series. For you to be able to beat a team in a seven-game series, I mean, that's the whole gist of the NBA. It's a problem with the NBA. That's why having eight teams make the playoffs is just a waste of time. Like, you're not going to see the Timberwolves beat the Nuggets. You're not going to see the Lakers beat the Grizzlies. It's not going to happen, man. What you might see is the Warriors beat the Kings, but in that situation, the Warriors are defending champion. They've done this a couple of times. They know what they're doing. So similar to you, I have a tough time finding a team in the West that is going to beat a healthy Warriors team in a seven-game series. Wiggins back and Klay healthy, Curry healthy, Draymond healthy. I don't see there's a team there that can do it. And then looking at the East, I was tempted to pick the Bucks as well. And then I was thinking about Boston. But you know what? The 76ers are deep, man. They've got a deep team. They've got guys that come off the bench and can straight up ball. And Embiid's having an awesome year, and I think it all comes down to James Harden. And I think it's easy for anyone to look at that team and be like, okay, if it comes down to James Harden, he's going to be looking for his mouthpiece on the court again. But I don't know. I just have a feeling that this year, I think he's going to play well. I think he's going to mesh well. They have a very favorable matchup in their first round against the Nets team. That's just ain't shit. So they're going to go on to the next round, and then, you know, and then we'll see what happens from there.
How many times are we going to get burned by Doc Rivers? How many times are we going to get burned by Joel Embiid?
I'm not getting burned by James Harden, because I do think he's a good player. And, you know, Embiid comes to play. He plays well. Doc Rivers is a bum. I've always said that. Like, he likes to pump out his chest because he coached three Hall of Famers to a championship. Well, what happened in L.A. with the Clippers? We lost 3-1 series, I think, to the Rockets. I think there was consecutive years where he lost 3-1 series. So, yeah, he needs great players. He's got two really good players on his team. He doesn't have the third guy, so I can say something like, oh, maybe he doesn't have that third, you know, future Hall of Famer. But, no, I like the Sixers' chances. An argument could be made for the Bucks. Totally agree with that. My only thing with the Bucks is they were, you know, they've been there. I don't know if they really have it in them to get back there. And the Celtics have just been, like, to me, they're just so up and down. Like, you see them beat good teams, but then they lose the Knicks in a home and away series. Then they go to Houston, they get slapped. You know, their coach, I mean, I think he got the job, but I don't know if he's really, really coaching them or if it's just the players that are playing well. Jalen Brown's future's up in the air. They're a good team, but I just think against the right opponent, they can be compromised.
Well, that's the thing with any of these teams. Like, there's not that one team, because we're going to compare this to the NHL. We'll put this side by side. It's very difficult to match up a team with the Boston Bruins. Right? Let's compare
right now,
sports.
Yes.
Let's compare sports. Let's compare sports. The number one overall seed in the East is the Milwaukee Bucks. The number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference for the NHL is the Boston Bruins. who were head to toe for first through 18. Studs. Complete and total studs. Like, they don't have to even play their top two lines and they can still drug people.
Yeah.
Whereas if Giannis gets in foul trouble and Middleton is having a middle of the road game, who are you relying on? Joe Ingles?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like
Bobby Portis?
Right. I do like Bobby Portis. I think Bobby Portis is a good player, but that's my whole thing. Is like, they don't have the depth that some other teams have. I don't buy into them now. I do love Drew Holiday, and I think their starting five is definitely legit. But I just think when, you know, if things got rough, if things got down to the fourth quarter and Giannis is not available, who's taking the shot? Grayson Allen?
No, he's delivering the shots. He's the one who's committing the flagrant foul. But Brooke Lopez, like, that's going to, you know, like...
Who's a good player?
He's a good player. He is a good player. But I understand what you're saying about the Sixers, but it's very hard for me to trust it after the fact that we've seen it so many times.
No.
So, yes, the James Harden factor is a little bit different, but we've also seen James Harden, too. So, this, you know, it's hard to say that definitively, yes, I'm going to put my eggs in the Philadelphia basket. I can't put my eggs in anybody in the Eastern Conference the way I can put my eggs in the Warriors basket. And, you know, it's they've proven who they are. Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs from men and women. That's fckclout.com. One team that has also proven who they are, the Dallas Mavericks. They're not in the mix anymore. You want to know why they're not in the mix? Because they sat Luka, they sat Kyrie, and they sat four other players against the Bulls, sealing their playoff fate and improving their odds of a top 10 draft pick, because they still owe the Knicks a top 10 protected pick from the Porzingis trade. Oh, do you feel that? Do you hear that? That sounds like tanking to me. How big of a mess does Adam Silver have on his hands here?
I mean, I was texting with you, you know, last week, and how the NBA is a joke. It's just a joke. I mean, but the only thing in this situation, I can't blame them for not playing their guys. I mean, yeah, it's messing with the sanctity of the game and everything like that. But I mean, the NBA, you know, just has, they have a problem with guys not playing in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the end of the season, you don't want to be, you make an argument, you don't want people to get hurt. We got nothing to play for here. We know who we are, kind of deal. So I'm not really upset with that. But, you know, this was a team that was in the Western Conference Finals last year, and now they're not even making the playoffs. Like, I said this a few years ago, and everybody laughed at me, and I said this on the show. They should really explore trading Luka Doncic. And he can't win a championship with the team the way it's currently constructed. Okay? And you can't go from going to the Western Conference Finals to missing the playoffs after you trade all your players to go get Kyrie Irving. Imagine if they don't even re-sign Kyrie Irving, which... I don't know what dynamic this team is going to look like next year. So, you know, the NBA has a lot of problems. You think out of all the leagues, they have the most issues, and they just seem to gloss over and not address any of them. I think it's hard. It's hard to be a casual fan of the NBA and looking at the dynamic that's set up, right? It's like, hey, man, like, if it's the end of the season, you want to go to see a Mavericks game, man, like, four of these guys aren't playing? What is that? You pay full price for that ticket? Like, it's just a little ridiculous. A friend of mine, I know, he goes to a lot of Knicks games, and what he does is he sits outside the arena until he finds out who is playing on both sides of the team, right? On both teams, home and away. And then once that happens, then he goes on like Vivid Seats or he goes on StubHub and he picks up seats from people that just automatically are putting their seats up because they're not going to the game because X, Y, and Z is not playing. And then he goes in and then he walks all the way down to like the cheaper seats, the better seats. Isn't that crazy?
It's gamesmanship. That's what that is. It's major league gamesmanship. But you look at this, like, to your point, you hear that Doncic isn't playing, Kyrie isn't playing, you know, Christian Wood isn't playing, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. They're your four best right there. Now, you want to throw in, I guess, JaVale McGee? Like, kind of really fun. Like, who the hell? Reggie Bullock? Like, you know, this is a team that can't afford to do this kind of thing. So they were going in. Think about where they were. When they made this trade, they were fifth in the West.
That's wild.
They were fifth in the West. And
I was reading something today where the Pelicans were like third or fourth in the West before Zion got hurt.
They were number two. They peaked at number two. They were number two.
And they fell apart because this guy can't stay healthy at all.
No, he is gonna. This was the major concern that he would not be durable enough to play in this league. But to speak specifically about the Mavericks situation, this is a major league crash and burn. And if I'm Mark Cuban, why the hell would I sign up for another year of this? Why would I? Because I traded so much away to get Kyrie Irving? Clearly it was a bad fit.
Well, what option does he have? What's he going to do? What is he going to do?
You have to rebuild this roster, and the only asset you have is Luka.
Oh,
because Kyrie's walking. Kyrie's walking.
And by the way, the Rays are about to go 12-0.
My goodness. My goodness. But the one real asset, the one tradable asset on this roster that's going to get you actual, like, players, that's going to get you actual assets is Luka. Right? Reggie Bullock will get you a second. Tim Hardaway will get you a second or like an expiring contract. JaVale McGee is a buyout. Markieff Morris might get you something. You're not rebuilding your roster by getting rid of those guys. Now, it's been steadily downhill since Dirk left. And it goes to show you how much of a steadying force Dirk Nowitzki was in that
team. I don't know if it's steadily downhill because they were good last year. And they were decent the year before that. I mean, I'm a Mavericks fan. I like the Mavericks. But you, at some point, you got to step back and look and say, okay, Luka is super talented and an amazing player. But he's not going to be able to get it done with the way the roster is currently constructed. And look at Trae Young. Trae Young barely made the playoffs, too.
That's my question. That was where I was coming to next.
His team's better. He's got a better team. There are better players on that team. They just need a coach. And now Snyder seems to be a decent coach. Once he has a whole year under his belt, it might be better.
Well, Quinn Snyder, he was not the problem in Utah. Clearly, Quinn Snyder was not the problem in Utah. But that was the question I was going to ask you. They were traded straight up for each other, Trae Young for Luka Doncic. Does Trae Young make the Mavericks a better team if they just kept Trae Young?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say. But he's a lot better than I thought he was. And I think he's also made the playoffs more than Luka has. I think he's shown that he's the better team player. Mm-hmm. Individual talent, definitely Luka. But, Trae's really figured out how to play and sustain himself in the NBA.
The Mavericks need a shooter. Trae Young's a shooter.
What are the Mavericks? Mavericks need a lot, man. They need the to Mavericks go back. Need a lot. They need to go back to the formula that got them a championship, right? They need to have a big guy that plays stellar defense. They need to have a guard that distributes the basketball. They need to have a killer three-point shooter coming off the bench. They need a lockdown defender that can also be a playmaker. And then you need a star. Right now, all they have is a star, you know? So, and if you want to say Kyrie could be a distributor, he could be, but he's also chucking up threes from, you know, all over the place. And that's okay. He could do that, but that dynamic, you can't have two guys doing that. They already got a guy doing that. You can't have two guys doing that. You know, so
if you're Adam Silver, or you're investigating this, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing to the Mavericks here as a result of what we've seen?
You could find them, I guess. I mean, it's hard to say, because if I'm Adam Silver, I'm looking at a whole bunch of other problems that I have right now that I have to figure out. Like, I really got to figure out how to make my product better, because my product is dog shit. It's just a dog shit product. It's not worth anything. At least I don't think so.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. They sent attendance records this year. Attendance records this year, all-time high. But we see it as a dog shit product, and a lot of people see it as a dog shit product. So, which is true, or are both true at the same time? Like,
well, I think what you're getting is you have people that love basketball, right? So if you love basketball, you're gonna watch basketball. And that's what I was trying to say earlier. Is like you're getting diehard basketball fans. Diehard basketball fans are not walking away. If you're a Knicks fan, if you're a LeBron fan, Kevin Durant fan, you're watching the garbage, you're keeping track of the garbage, you're in a fantasy league. What you're not getting, and what I think is important in sports today, is you're not getting the casual fan. You're not getting the guy that's like, hey, I feel like going to a Knicks game tonight. Or you're not getting the guy that's looking, sitting down, watching TV, and like, oh, I wonder how the Knicks are doing. Like, game 56, that guy doesn't care. That guy turns it on and sees Jalen Brunson's not playing, Randall's not playing, change the channel. Like, that's what I'm trying to say, is you're losing that fan. I don't like Rob Manfred, and I don't like what he's done to baseball, but you can see what Rob Manfred's trying to do. He's trying to get casual fans to baseball. He's done the opposite. He's like, he's realized, okay, I know people who love baseball are going to watch baseball. How do I get other people to watch baseball? How do I get young kids to watch baseball? How do I get more people in the parks? Oh, I got to make the game quicker. I got to speed it up. I got to make it more for more balls in play. The NBA needs to figure that out. They need to figure out how to get the casual. You're not getting the casual fan. You're getting the diehards, the love, I love basketball, I love these players, you know, because the thing about NBA is going to have to figure out soon is LeBron's going to be gone in like 2 years, you know what I mean? So, and then when LeBron's gone, then what? And then Durant, he's clearly not the guy, so... But, you know, we were just touching...
That generation's going to fade off. But they're banking on the Lucas. They're banking on the Trae Youngs, the Anthony Edwardses, the Donovan Mitchells. They're banking on that crop of player, the next level of player, to ascend to the next level. But are those guys, like, generational superstars? I don't think so. But, you know, they'll wait for the next great player. But that's just... That's the cyclical nature of it, right? You had to wait a while. Jordan hung on too long. But Jordan in his prime and then LeBron arriving, you had a guy like Kobe, right? You need some guys to kind of pepper the way through. And I don't know if the NBA necessarily has that echelon of player right now. They're banking on Wembanyama. Like, they're, like, desperately hoping that Wembanyama...
Seems legit. And also, the kid from Alabama, if he doesn't get arrested, seems a bit...
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's your 1-2 right there. But, enjoy Houston. Enjoy Detroit. Like, you know. That's the issue right there. So, you know, it's great for the Pistons if they can get Wembanyama and Cade Cunningham. But, you know, we'll see what the NBA, you know, our team, are people going to tune in and watch those markets.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
And perfect example, right here, right now. Who has the best record in Major League Baseball right now? We're 2 weeks in, and who's got the best record? Yankees? No. Dodgers? No. The Tampa Bay Rays. Sons of bitches did it again. The sons of bitches did it again. What do we need to do to stop being surprised by them? They're 12-0.
Yeah, they just beat the Red Sox 9-7. Wild. I think we need to understand that the game of baseball is a numbers game. It doesn't have anything to do with the names on the backs of jerseys, and it has everything to do with on-base percentage, pitching to contact, scoring runs, getting on base. It's great to see them above the Yankees, above Boston, who have payrolls. I wrote this down. The Yankees have a $344 million payroll. Toronto's got a $210 million payroll. The Orioles actually have a $64 million payroll. Interesting enough. So, you know, they aren't the lowest in the division, but it's nice to see them on top of those guys and showing that it's about heart, it's about determination and understanding how the game of baseball is played.
I mean, it's a credit to the front office, right? They draft well, they trade even better. Like, they know what they're doing. They maximize what they do best. Now, if you look statistically, right? Let's look at pitching wise. Lowest ERA, lowest WHIP. They don't give up runs, and they don't put people on base. Sounds like common sense, right?
Yes.
If you don't give up runs, you don't put people on base, your team is generally going to win. They have the fifth best batting average. Okay, you know, batting average is an antiquated statistic, yada, yada, yada. We go over it all the time. Okay, let's go to something a little bit more modern. Who has the highest OPS? The Tampa Bay Rays at 944. Who has hit the most home runs in the major leagues? Tampa Bay Rays at 29. So they are maximizing what they do best. And how many times, how many people have they cycled through, right? You had Austin Meadows. You had, you know, go way back. Evan Longoria, Carlos Pena. You've had, go all the way back to when they first ascended. They've had players come through there and they've moved them along and brought in the next wave of players. They brought in the Brandon Lowe's and the Luke Raley's. And getting Randy Arozarena, right? They're making smart additions. But as long as they maintain this, as long as they understand and stick to this identity, they're constantly going to be a success. Like, there is nobody on this roster in terms of the rotation, right? There's no identifiable, yeah, he's the guy, right? Shane McClanahan's supposed to be. Hasn't been so far. You know, when Tyler Glasnow comes back, he'll be the guy. But there's a lot of guys that are like, who the hell is that? Your Colin Pochets, your Rasmussens, your Springs, Kevin Kelly, Jalen Beeks. They just had Taj Bradley make his major league debut. Like, these are deep dives. A lot of them are deep dives. And it's a credit to scouting. It's a credit to the front office. And that's a credit to understanding that, you know, this is the new money ball. They can't compete.
Yep.
Because asses don't get in the seats in Tampa Bay. So how do you beat them? You beat them by figuring out how to put a team on the field that doesn't make mistakes. And the Rays do not make mistakes.
Nope. Nope, they get it.
They absolutely get it. But my question is this. Is it sustainable? Obviously, 12-0 is not sustainable, but over the long term of the season, like, how good can this Rays team be?
So, I do think it's sustainable. I mean, it's hard to believe that all of a sudden they're going to lose like a 12 in a row, or they're going to fall behind the eight ball here. I think they keep it going. I don't foresee them getting disrupted by anything. I'm not saying they're not going to go 162-0, but I'm just saying, like, I think they can continue to win games against tough opponents. I don't think the Yankees or the Orioles or any other team, like, they don't care. Like, they really don't care. It doesn't matter who's walking into that shithole of the stadium or whatever town they go to. They went to the World Series, right? They went to the World Series the COVID year and lost to the Dodgers, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They've been there. They've absolutely been there. And the model still works. And they're just going to keep, like, the next guy is probably going to be Glasnow. Right? So he's the biggest name. He's going to end up earning the most money on this team, not named Wander Franco, who they already locked up. So that's the thing. They'll lock up guys early on team-friendly contracts, which is another thing that's why they're able to sustain so long, because they didn't have to pay Evan. They paid Evan Longoria early, so they didn't have to worry about the inevitable inflation. So, and then they moved him along to San Francisco. So...
No, last night was probably Meadows. Remember
Meadows? Yeah, they moved him to Detroit.
Like, anytime you gotta worry when the Rays call you for a trade. Hey, wait a minute.
Got this guy in low A. He throws 97, but he's all over the place. We want him. I'm not so sure. I don't want to give him up. Like, now I have to think twice.
Yeah, you're right.
Need a little inspiration in the kitchen? Want to try something new? Or maybe you just need a new YouTube cooking show to binge? Well, I have the answer for all three. As You Eat It, hosted by me, Z. I invite you into my home and show you methods designed to empower and inspire you in the kitchen. Cook how you want to cook, eat how you want to eat, eat as you eat it. That's As You Eat It, available only on YouTube. AZ. You Eat It. Check it out and let's get cooking. Transitioning over to the NFL, where a mercurial superstar finally has a new home. No, not him. The other guy. The Ravens. Yes, the Ravens have finally signed a number one wide receiver. They signed Odell Beckham Jr. to a one-year, $18 million contract, $15 million guaranteed. You're Mr. Raven, so I will cede my time to you. Is this the move that will keep Lamar Jackson in black and purple?
So, I mean, I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Like, I really don't understand what... Like, I thought Aaron Rodgers was calling for Odell. Mm-hmm. I don't remember Lamar saying anything about Odell Beckham. The guy had two ACL surgeries on the same knee. I mean, I don't even see him rehabbing. All I ever do is see him at NBA games lobbying for jobs in for football on football teams. But he doesn't even seem like a Raven. He doesn't fit the profile of a Ravens receiver or a Raven. I think both of these guys are going to be missing time in November and December. And then if that's the case, then why did you trade Hollywood Brown? Like, what was that all about? Why can't you go get DeAndre Hopkins? Why are you going after this bum? And who is in the market for this man? He was trying to get on a team all of last year at the end of the year, and nobody wanted this guy. Why are they throwing him $18 million, $15 million with incentives? Like, why? Who else is interested? Let them have him. We don't even have a quarterback. We have no one to throw him the fucking football.
This move would have been good 3 seasons ago, right? How many years have we been saying, get this man a number one wideout? We said Julio, right? That was the guy. Now, Hollywood Brown. Okay. Now, off of 2 ACLs and a year off, like he's just trying to get back into the league at this point. Who are you betting? Who are you going up against? The Jets weren't going to pay him $15 million guaranteed. No way. Absolutely no way. And look at your core, right? Look at this. You have Duvernay, who's okay. You know, he had some good moments. Bateman, Prochet, and Nelson. You brought in Nelson Aguilar. And now Odell Beckham Jr. It's still not good. Now, you hoped when you brought in the new offensive coordinator, you're going to try and move away from the run a little bit. Because it was so run dominant that it became predictable. Now, you'd hope to diversify your offense here, but you got to think that they're going to be drafting a wideout, another one. You kind of figure that's where they're going, because
yeah, they have to. Yeah,
who's the number one here? Like, Odell Beckham was 3 years ago, not now. I mean, Beckham may very well be good, but all it takes is one bad step and his leg's gonna explode again.
It's gonna happen. There's not a doubt it's gonna happen. I have no confidence in this man's ability to play football, and he's a cancer to a team. You think it's a good idea to bring him to this team? But they're a running football team. You gonna bring this guy? Like, what has he done to show? You know, and this is such a weird move for them. They're never this careless. This is such a careless move. Like, who be worried about the Jets getting him? Let the Jets have him. Who cares? What's going on with Rashad Bateman? Isn't he still on the team? Is he no good? What's wrong with that guy?
Still don't know if Rashad Bateman's any good. Still don't know if Devin Duvernay's any good. The problem
Duvernay
is
good. I like Duvernay.
He's okay. He's not great. But the
Baltimore Neither is Odell
Ravens,
Beckham Jr.
Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Not on a rebuilt leg. But the best receiver on this team is Mark Andrews. Let's be real. Let's call it what it is. Mark Andrews is the best receiver on this team. But how many Pro Bowl wide receivers have they had who weren't kick returners? The Ravens have had 0. And they had Steve Smith at one point. So that goes to show you that Baltimore is where wideouts go to die.
No, don't be that way. It's not Chicago. That's Chicago. That's fucking Chicago. Don't say that. That's not true. Steve Smith had great careers there. I can't name the last time a receiver had a great career in Chicago.
I can't pick one off the top of my head either. I mean, Devin Hesper is a kick returner. That's the issue. But that in Arizona. Arizona is where, you know, older wideouts go to kind of settle in the pasture. But things are moving up.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
We are 2 weeks out from the NFL draft. Quarterback needy teams are calling the Arizona Cardinals about the number 3 overall pick. If you're the Cardinals GM, what will it take for you to move the pick, and who's making the move?
Ooh. All right, so I mean, if I'm Arizona, I may be in the market for a quarterback myself. But no, I'll play along. So if I'm the GM, I want to swap ones, you know, with you. I want next year's one, next year's two, and then I want either a third rounder or a player. I want either a player or a third rounder in 2025. That's what I want. And now, as far as, you know, who should be in the market for this, I mean, there's a lot of teams that should be willing to make this play. And quite frankly, I'm surprised. You know what? I'm very proud of the Atlanta Falcons. They made some moves, man. Because good luck passing on that defense next year. They went good. Jeff Okuda,
Okuda,
number three over pick in the 2020 draft. They also added Jesse Bates, the safety. They got Calais Campbell from the Ravens. They got Mike Hughes at corner. And then they got another tackle in Onimata. Good luck passing on them next year. So I was going to say the Falcons, right? But they seem like they're sold on Desmond Ridder. But I mean, you gotta, if you're the Washington Commanders, are you really sold on Sam Howell? Is that really your guy? I mean, you got a chance to get the face of the franchise this year, and maybe for low cost. I mean, if you're a team that's, you know, wants your pick of the quarterback, because now I'm even hearing Houston might not even take a quarterback at two. I don't know what they're going to do, but I heard they might not even take a quarterback at two. So now you're going to get your pick a quarterback. I mean, gosh, it's so enticing. I don't know. I think it's hard to pass up.
It's very difficult, you know. Like, in reality, who are you trying to jump? You're trying to jump the Colts.
Yeah.
The Colts are dying for a quarterback. They're desperate for a quarterback. Carolina's going to take one. We've established that Carolina's going to take one. Houston, obviously, Taylor's thinking, you don't know what the hell they're thinking. They took Daryl Stingley when they could have taken Sauce Gardner. They could have taken, you know, there are lots of things they could have done.
I'm still not sold on Sauce Gardner. I think that Houston did the right thing. I like that trade. I like that player.
I know. Stingley's okay, but I don't know if he was, I don't know if you could have gotten him later. But if you're looking at it, right, Houston has so many holes. But Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Herndon is moving up, right? Herndon is moving up draft boards now. It's, you know, there's plenty of stuff there. I wonder if people are going to be enamored with Bijan Robinson. And would they value him that high? Because the last time somebody went that high was Saquon Barkley. So I don't know if they're going to value Bijan Robinson at that height. I know the Cowboys are enamored with him, but I think you're moving up for a quarterback. Well, they got rid of Zeke, so I figured Bijan plus Tony Pollard might be a good move. But yeah, if you're moving up, you're moving up to take a quarterback. Now, who's going to do it? Seattle just inked Geno, right? Do they need to jump the Colts? No. The Lions have Goff for at least a couple more years. Do they need to jump the Colts?
Gosh, imagine if the Falcons are able to get Robinson at eight.
Mm.
Wow.
That'd be a coup. That would be a major coup. Like the Raiders. That's interesting.
See, the Raiders are interesting. Yeah, the Raiders are interesting. I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, they have Jimmy. They did ink Jimmy, but
you got to think that they're going to take the. I would think they were going to take the quarterback from Kentucky, Levi.
Yeah, I think it would be Levis, possibly. But you got to. I mean, Tennessee at 11. If they're set on a particular guy, they're going to need to get up. And to go from 3 to 11, if I'm Arizona, I'm thinking a 1, 2 twos and a player might be enough to go from 3 to 11.
2 twos and a player. That's cheap.
It's possible. But you don't want to go, like, too much. Because then you don't want to price yourself out, and then all of a sudden you have to take somebody. But there's plenty of talent here. I mean, they could take, you know, they could just keep the pick if they were so inclined. They can just take Will Anderson Jr. They could take a Jalen Carter if they believe in Kyler Murray like they say they did. Now, I'm just saying they could take Bijan Robinson. They could turn around and take Bijan Robinson. So they don't necessarily have to, but I mean, I'd entertain that pick. I would entertain that. But Tennessee looks like a team that would do that. Green Bay could move up. But it, you know, it all depends on if they seal the Aaron Rodgers deal, and maybe they can spin some more assets and move up.
So they got Will. They got Will Levis going 11 to the Titans now. Mock drafts.
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, a lot of time between now and then. But you know, if they like Levis, if they like a particular guy, like if Richardson goes one, right, and they have an opportunity to get young, Tennessee's gonna make that trade.
And Tampa's another team.
Tampa's yeah, absolutely. Team. I mean, people are saying the Vikings. I don't know if the Vikings are gonna take a quarterback. I'm like, the people are trying to link the Vikings to a quarterback. I don't know. And if they are, it'll be like Herndon. It'll be somebody like later in the first round. They're not gonna move up. But if you're looking at a team that's desperate, because let's be real here, Tannehill, Malik Willis. That's nothing to write home about. You're turning around, handing the ball off to Derrick Henry. The window's closed. The window's absolutely closed. So if you want to jumpstart a rebuild, and if you want to jumpstart, you know, your ascendance back up that division, from what I see, Tennessee might be the only team that's going to make the move.
Want to get on the action? We want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter at faderoutednz. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd. Time for the mail route on the fade route. If you want to get featured, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in those DMs at faderoutepodcast on IG, or drop us a line on our Twitter page at faderoutednz.
Alright, boys and girls, we have a full mailbox here today, and if you want to get your email read on the air, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a DM on Twitter at faderoutednz. Our first email today comes from Nick in Bogota, New Jersey. Welcome, Nick. New to the show. Hey guys, John Rahm took home the green jacket for the first time, but the bigger story at the Masters was the leaderboard. Three of the top six finishers were LIV golfers. Is a merger inevitable?
Raptors eliminated by the Bulls, by the way.
Bulls rally.
So I do think a merger is inevitable. I just don't know how soon it's going to be. I don't know if we're talking about 3 years, 6 years, or 10 years. Like, I do think a merger is going to happen. They've got too many stars in the LIV Tour, and guys like playing on the LIV Tour, and they're getting a lot of money for playing on the LIV Tour. So, yeah, I would say so.
It's a matter of time, you know? It's definitely a matter of time, because you have Phil Mickelson, Cameron Smith, Dustin Johnson, Matthew Wolf, Taylor Gooch, DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed. Those are household names. And for three of the top six to be LIV golfers, the only impediment to this merger is Greg Norman. Greg Norman and his vendetta against the PGA. That is what's keeping this from happening, because there's a lot of money here. There's a lot of money in a merger. And there's a lot of money to be made in golf, right? With the, it's very much like the AFL-NFL. LIV has done some things spurring the PGA to make moves. These no-cut events, like, that's important. Like, guys want to be involved in no-cut events. Golfers want that. So these are some things that are going to happen in the future. It's just a matter of time. And they've already started happening to some degree. But in order to get these guys back in the fold and to have the best of the best at every tournament, a merger needs to happen. Now, how long that's going to take, I don't know. Is it going to get contentious? Absolutely, it's going to get contentious. But John Rahm had a stellar weekend. He did finish 12 under par for the tournament. So let's not bury the lead here. John Rahm did a, you know, a hell of a job. But the best of the best this go-around came from the LIV. And you look at a guy like Jordan Spieth, finished tied for fourth with 7 under par. He's going to be around. Rory's going to be around usually. Scottie Scheffler is going to play a lot better than he usually did, than he did this go around. He finished tied for 10th. But it's time to bring everybody back into the fold. Those guys are too good. And the competition is too good. So might as well go ahead and do it. Email number two comes from Frank and Paramus, a Jersey-centric show. What's up, guys? Anthony Volpe looks overmatched so far at the plate. When is it time to send him back to Scranton?
I think you and I disagree on this, but I think it's now. I mean, I know it's only been like 2 weeks in the season, but he looks a lot smaller than I thought. Looks like a small dude. He's getting overpowered by the fastball, and I think he has a lot to learn.
I mean, it's only been 31 at bats. He's 4 hits in 31 at bats.
He's batting better than Aaron Hicks, but that doesn't really say much.
He's also getting paid a lot less than Aaron Hicks, but
everybody is.
Everybody is, and they know how many outs there are. So I'm just throwing that out there. Schmuck. But, you know, you got to give him some time to get his feet underneath him. He's already at 31 at bats, right? Give him 100. That's what, a couple more weeks? Give him till the beginning of May. If he's still not cutting the mustard, send him down to AAA to get some seasoning. I think that's fair. The problem is that LeMahieu's now hurt. Gleyber Torres didn't start today. Kiner Falefa is playing third because Donaldson is hurt.
Damn, Z, you want to give him 100 at-bats? That means he's got to go another 2 or 3 weeks.
Let him go another 2 or 3 weeks. It's not like they're loaded in Scranton either. Like, you kind of need him right now because the infield is so depleted. Like, Rizzo is the only one that's healthy. Volpe's not hitting, but then, you know, you only have Rizzo. So they kind of don't have...
Striking out a lot, though.
Yeah, he is, but, yeah. It's...
And no RBIs. And I don't know. Yeah, to me, I'd send him down. He's batting 143. I don't want this kid to lose his confidence. At least if I send him down now, it's like, all right, you know, you got a little... You wet your peak a little bit. Go down there for a month. We'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Wait longer, it could get worse. You could be Aaron Hicks batting 091.
I mean, he could, but at the same time, he could also work his way out of it. But if you're looking at I mean, the only person that I would consider bringing up and swapping him out for is Peraza. Right? You're gonna swap top prospect for top prospect. Now what happens if Peraza struggles? Like, now your two top prospects are both in AAA, both trying to get themselves settled. And then you'll have a guy like Wilmer Defoe coming up who can't hit.
He's
all gloves, no bat.
He's got 17 more at-bats than Aaron Hicks. But Aaron Hicks has managed to score two runs, get three hits, walk once, and only struck out five times. He's batting 167.
It's still early. Stats don't mean anything right now. In a month, it could turn around very quickly. You have guys that are playing phenomenally right now, like Brian Reynolds. Brian Reynolds can fall back a little bit because he's playing out of his mind. You remember Chris Shelton? He used to play for the Rangers and the Tigers. Hit like a dozen home runs in April one year, and then he was back in AAA by June.
Is Jared Kelenic up?
Kelenic's up. Yeah, Kelenic's up with the Mariners. Yeah, so that's a perfect comp.
Yeah, he is. Look at this is a comp, and this is a guy that got sent down. He's batting 351, 5 runs, 13 hits, 5 RBI, 4 walks. He's still striking out a lot, though. 3 home runs and 2 stolen bases.
Yeah. He's still striking out. Strikeouts, we value strikeouts less in this day and age. Like that. People don't care. Hitters don't care if they strike out a lot. It's mind-boggling to me, but hitters don't care if they strike out a lot. But the one thing, the on-base percentage, it's not great. It's only 250 for Volpe. So if he can be more patient, if he can work the count, and he can, if he can get a little bit lucky with balls in play, it could turn around quickly. The pressure is there. Like, we noted that the pressure was going to be there. Like, he got the endorsement of Derek Jeter, Like, that means something. Like, he's supposed to be the heir apparent. Just hear me out. Like, expectations matter, Like, this is Mickey Mantle, right? He was supposed to be the next Joe DiMaggio, and they gave him number 6. Like, he was supposed to be next in line. Like, these things are ceremonial, like, or we think they're ceremonial, but they have a big mental stress. It's a big mental stress, and he may not be ready now, or he's just in a slump and he needs to make an adjustment. Give the kid a chance to make an adjustment, and he may very well surprise us. Who's to say? You got to give him time before before you declare him an all-time flop. Email number 3 comes from Charlie in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hello, Charlie. The Boston Bruins have set the all-time record for points in a single season. Should we just start engraving the cup now?
In hockey, usually the best team doesn't win, but I think the last team to kind of set this record was Montreal, right, in the 70s and the 80s, mm-hmm. And they actually did win. Man, it's hard. They've just been so dominant. They've had their foot, on the throat of this league just all season. Like, they don't let up. They're as advertised. I saw a goal yesterday against the Capitals, or 2 days ago, whenever they broke the record.
Mm-hmm.
One of the defenders dove on the floor to try to stop the goal. The player passed it over him. Right to one of the open guys next to the net, got the goal. Amazing. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. They're just so in sync with one another. But let's talk about teams that could clip them, right? I do think the Rangers could clip them for sure. I think the Maple Leafs could. I think the Lightning could. I think the Devils could. So there are teams out there that could definitely clip them on the way, but they're, like you said, they're going to wind up playing the Islanders in the first round. That's going to be a wallop. They're just going to send them on their way. They give them a nice little boost. But I would say I'm taking the Bruins.
No, absolutely. It's Bruins versus the field. As a Ranger fan, I'm never going to take the Bruins. Obviously, I want my team to be there at the end. And I think they do have the best chance to do it. But let's think about, let's go back to what you're talking about. The 76-77 Montreal Canadiens had this record. They were 68-12 for the season.
Crazy.
Or something like that. It was ridiculous.
In hockey.
Yeah. Yeah. It was 68 and I forget, you know, it might have been like 10 or something like that. But it was just absurd. Absolutely absurd. But how many series will they have to play? That's the thing. Montreal had to beat the Blues, the Islanders, and then the Bruins. So they had to play three series. The Bruins have to play an additional series. So that definitely is going to make a difference. Not to mention, the Islanders, you know, they're not going to be able to match firepower with the Bruins. But they play hard. If there's one thing you can't knock the Islanders on, the Islanders play hard. They play physical. They're going to go at the Bruins with everything they got. Now, could that they soften them up? Absolutely, they could. Anybody left, with the exception of probably the Panthers, a softened up Bruins team can probably be clipped by anybody. So, Rangers, absolutely. Devils, they're young, but it's possible. Lindy Ruff's got them playing the right way, and their captain, Jack Hughes, is legit. Carolina's Carolina. They're there every year. Carolina is an Eastern Conference institution at this point. Toronto would shit or get off the pot. Hey, I'm sick and tired of talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, for God's sake, do something. Do something. And then Tampa Bay. Right? Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay. I'm not doubting Tampa Bay. Any of those teams can knock off a weakened Bruins team. But the Bruins are formidable. Would it surprise me if they make it all the way to the end? No. But we've seen this story before about juggernauts making it to a certain point and they just can't go anymore. That's sports. Eventually, you can only do so much and your body gives out or the luck changes, like the worm turns, they like to say. And, you know, it's an incredible amount of luck and skill. But it's only a matter of time. Like, David Pastrnak had 60 goals this year. Like, eventually, right? Eventually, these things dry up. Look at Chris Kreider last year. Had 50 last year. He was okay in the playoffs. But he wasn't scoring at the regular season clip. Ullmark. Is he going to stay riding on this level? Or is he going to slide back? Who's to say? We don't know yet, but it's going to be a hell of a postseason in hockey, and I am looking forward to it all.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
It is time You know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. You put up a poll on our Twitter page at FaveRouteDNC, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and the coveted ass trophy. D, do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week?
I don't.
One Mr. Anthony Rendon.
That guy.
You called me a bitch. You called me a bitch. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I did.
Yes, you did.
And what?
And what? Swatted at him. You got four games.
You called me and apologize in 2 days?
Oh my God. That was last week. This was this week. Who are your Alleged Superstar of the Week nominees? D.
Okay, so first up, I've got the Lakers going to overtime against the Minnesota Timberwolves, who were without one of their guards and without Rudy Gobert. I mean, it's just so disappointing to see a team with that much talent barely beat a team that doesn't even deserve to be playing in a play-in game. Los Angeles Lakers, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, the Baltimore Ravens, signing Odell Beckham Jr. to an $18 million deal. The dude had two torn ACLs in the same knee. Nobody wanted him last year. Who were you competing against? Why did you trade Hollywood Brown? These are all questions I have, and that's why you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. And last, and certainly least, Jimmy Butler in the Heat, losing to the sorry Hawks at home. After guaranteeing victory. Guys, you're the Miami Heat. You're supposed to turn it on when it comes to the playoffs. Awful, awful loss. Jimmy Butler and the Heat. You are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. Do better, just do better. Z, what do you got?
All good choices. All very good choices. I'm going to start with the Timberwolves. Collectively. Yes. You're melted down the last game of the season. Jaden McDaniels breaking his hand. Rudy Gobert shoving Ryan Anderson in the chest. Looked like a punch. Got suspended. All because he was saying, get a fucking rebound. Why don't you block some shots? Why don't you get a fucking rebound, bitch?
Why does everybody just do their job?
Right. How about we stop calling each other bitches? Right? Anthony Rendon called somebody a bitch. Swiped at somebody, got suspended. Now, Rudy Gobert went after somebody who called him a bitch, got suspended. Can we stop? Can we get rid of the word bitch? Just eliminate that from our vocabulary. That would be wonderful. That would be absolutely wonderful. And not to mention that you got beat by the Lakers in the play-in tournament. What is going on in Minnesota? The lights were too bright and you melted down. Minnesota Timberwolves, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Linesman Konstantin Hatzidakis. Who? Remember that name, because you'll never hear it again. Halftime. Liverpool Arsenal. This gentleman, Hatzidakis. It's fun to say. He's a linesman. Walking past Andy Robertson. Known irritant, but quality player. You can't tell if anything was said. It doesn't look like it. All of a sudden, Hatzidakis throws an elbow at a player. Mr. Robertson. You can't do that. You as a lineman, you as an official, you cannot throw an elbow at a player. Never, ever, ever, ever. Like, he could call you a bitch. You know, he could call you a bitch. It doesn't matter. You cannot let your emotions get the best of you. Never, ever, ever, ever. Yeah, I don't care if you're an Arsenal fan and Robertson plays for Liverpool. I don't care. Never, ever, ever, ever are you allowed to take a shot, take a swing at a player. Konstantin Hatzidakis, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, New York Red Bull. In your matchup against the San Jose Quakes, a racial epithet was said toward Jeremy Eboise. And I apologize if I mispronounced that. Eboise. My apologies, Jeremy. But a racist remark was made. Not only was the player not removed from the game, but the coach didn't seem the big deal and issued a limp-wristed, milk-toast apology for an error in judgment. Really? That's pretty bad. That's not an error in judgment. That's condoning racism. Condoning racism is not an error in judgment, you schmuck.
That's Gerhard not okay.
Struber. No, Gerhard Struber, that's not okay. That's not okay. New York Red Bulls, you got some learning to do. You are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our Twitter page at FadeRouteDNZ and you vote and vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees, just do better, boys. Just do better. Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch apple to campfire s'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow them on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
Order up!
It is time for us to order up.
Order up, order up.
This week, we are going to the video game side of sports, and we're going to talk about and order up our favorite pro wrestling games. From 5 to 1, what do you got, D?
All right, so I'm going to start real old school. I'm going Royal Rumble on the Super Nintendo. Had Bret Hart, Undertaker, Ric Flair, Million Dollar Man, Macho Man Randy Savage, and the list goes on and on. Excellent, excellent game. Then, the step up from that at number 4, I've got Monday Night Raw for Super Nintendo. You had Doink the Clown, you had 1-2-3 Kid, it had finishers, and then it had also super finishers. Now, number 3, this is when the game changed, man. WCW NWO Revenge. Man, that game changed it. You had, this was the game that started it all. You had the new engine. You had Aki Man. You had Fatal 4-Ways. Changed the game. Number 2, for me, WrestleMania 2000. Finally, they had the WCW NWO engine with the WWF wrestlers. And it was a dream come true. And number 1, I'm still playing it today. No Mercy, man. It's the best of all time. Ladder matches, First Blood, Royal Rumbles, you can counter finishers, amazing. And then runners up, I've got WCW, NWO, and then I've got WWE All-Stars.
Nice. We have Well, we have a lot of crossover. Now, the question is the order. I'm going to start with number five. Pro wrestling for the Nintendo.
Okay.
Old school.
That had Ultimate Warrior? Did that have Ultimate Warrior?
It didn't have Ultimate Warrior, but it had, you know, you had...
Hogan?
Your guy. No, this was the independent game from Pro Wrestling from Nintendo.
So
like Starman and just like, you know, Hayabusa, like not that Hayabusa, not the real Hayabusa, the another guy, just loosely based on real wrestlers. It was a very good game and still play it to this day. If you have Nintendo Switch, you can go into the classics, you can definitely find it. Or if you have a retro Nintendo, it's one of the games that's preloaded on there. So definitely give it a try. Recently, maybe about a year or two ago, Virgil actually went to an independent wrestling event as Starman. He was revealed, you know, he was wrestling at the event as Starman, took off his mask, and oh shit, there's Virgil. Good for Virgil. Nice. Meat Sauce Mike. Congratulations. Number four, I'm with you on Royal Rumble from Super Nintendo. I think I actually played that at your house.
Probably all the time.
Yeah. So I think you also had Luger. You had Tatanka. You had Macho Man. You had
Yokozuna.
So many guys. Yoko.
I'm pretty sure Yokozuna was in that too. It was a big deal to do the bonsai chop from the corner.
Yeah, Kona Crush. Like you had a lot of superstars, and you know it was a step above WrestleMania, the arcade game. It wasn't as Mortal Kombat-y. It wasn't super fight. It wasn't like a fighting game. Like, that's the main difference for me between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, the arcade game. It was a little bit more true to what professional wrestling is. Number three, going a little bit more modern. SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain. Right? A more modern approach. More match types. Not only WWE superstars from that time. You had your Lesnar, you had your Angle, you had, you know, the modern roster, but you also had your fair share of legends. That was the first introduction of legends into like the idea of it. So a really good story mode. Here Comes the Pain was a good one. Number two, I'm going WCW NWO Revenge. It was the platform on which number one was built. So you were able to do a little bit of customization. You were able to do a little bit of creation. You had a story mode with the belts. You can go after a title. You were able to unlock certain wrestlers, especially if you had a Game Shark. Now we're going really old school with the Game Shark. You can get the Wrath code. You can actually, you know, get Wrath. He was a downloadable character. You can turn Mortis into Canyon. There are a lot of different things going on there. And number one, WWF No Mercy. Like, come on now.
So good.
Like, come on.
Good.
It's such a good game. You can create titles. You can create pay-per-views. You can, you know, you could do so much with that. And it's still fun. It is still fun to this day. And, you know, it's just nostalgic, man. I used to go over to your house. We used to go over to our boy's house. We used to hang out and just play that game. And, like, it speaks to childhood and the innocence of it. And just, like, a bunch of guys just hanging out, having fun.
Just
and it's still a fantastic game. And, like, I would definitely be down to play. Like, that's, you know, that's, it goes without question that is far and away the best of the best.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route, but we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.